Well, Merry Christmas. I know we have some kids in the room. You know, you can yell out, kids. Ready? Merry Christmas. Hey, thanks adults for applying too. Merry Christmas to you. Thanks for joining us online. Maybe you're in the room or online, wherever you're at. I believe you are supposed to be here for right now. So I'm glad that you're here. My name's Ross. I serve as senior pastor here and overjoyed that whether you call Hope Church home or not, that you decided to join us today. If you'd like to follow along, I love to dive into, you know, we're characterized here at Hope Church by just digging into God's word and taking notes along the way. And so if you want to do that, there's some note sheets in the back there that you can go grab right outside the tech booth. You can jump on our website, on our church app, and take notes along the way, or on your notes app, however you want to. But I'll have some notes for you along the way to take if you want to join us like that. You know, with the Christmas season, growing up and experiencing Christmas, what was a joy. I mean, kids in the room, there's presents under the tree. You're so excited for what's to be, that Christmas morning feeling in that day. I remember as a kid feeling all those feelings too. The gifts under the tree was what I really looked forward to. But maybe parents and adults in the room, you might get where I'm coming from. So you see, I've grown from a point of looking for just the gifts under the tree, but my perspective has shifted. See, Christmas and Christmas Day and Christmas Eve and the season at whole is much more than the gifts under the tree anymore, but the presence with one another, the presence with my family and my kids, and the joy that it brings to be together, to celebrate, to see family come in from near or far, or just to be together is what I'm really looking after, is what I'm really looking for. And maybe you feel that too. That maybe you feel the togetherness of Christmas is what you're really excited for. See, even as Christians, we celebrate Christmas and recognize God's gift of Jesus to us, that it's a great gift to us that Jesus would come and be born on this earth. But we don't understand the fullness of that gift until we experience God's presence in Jesus, that Jesus would come and be Emmanuel, God with us. And in order to experience God's presence through Jesus, we must surrender and surrender everything. See, throughout our Christmas season here at Hope Church, the last few many weeks, we've been uncovering the ways in which our life may be surrendered to God. And it's been paralleled with some people in Scripture, in the New Testament, in the Bible, of people surrounding the birth of Jesus and the way that they had to surrender parts of their life and the fullness of their life to embrace Jesus very so physically, tangibly, as a baby in a manger then. You see, we grew to understand that surrender is for God's glory in our life, but also for our good, that we were created to do so. And over the last few weeks, we came to identify that a life characterized by surrender looks like a few things, and I'll give them to you now. And the first one's this: surrendering our doubts. Like in the story of Zechariah, we observed in a man who in his faith, he had many doubts. And we identified it's not bad to have doubts in our life, but what we do with those doubts really matter. And do we take them to God in faith? And so what we learned in Zechariah, and similar to him, he had to surrender his doubts to God. Instead of being a man who would say, God, can you do it? He grew to be a man who would say faithfully, God, you will. And we would do the same, surrendering our doubts to him and trusting him faithfully with our life. Not only doubts, but also our status. See, in this world, a status means a lot to us. It's important to us. And we identified that it boils down to this reality that we really care about the opinions of the world and what they say about us. But we found in the story of Joseph. Joseph, who had been engaged to Mary, and yet an angel appears to her. She's going to conceive Jesus, the Son of God. But hey, this was so countercultural, not the norm. And Joseph, to embrace Jesus, had to surrender his status in a world that would reject him by still taking Mary to be his wife, even though the child wasn't his. But yet he would surrender his status to do so and faithfully hear from an angel saying, Joseph, don't be afraid, for this baby is Jesus, for he's the Son of God. Not only characterized by surrendering our doubts and our status, recognizing surrendering our status takes us to a place of God's opinions are greater than the world's about me and about what I should do and how I should live, but also surrendering our plans. And that's where we found Mary. See, Mary, often we see in our life, right, that God, how can you fit into my plans? But yet this perspective shift needed to take place. It's not how, God, can you fit into my plans for my life, but God, where do I fit into yours? And how can I live for your glory alone? And Mary was met in a conflict with that, that she would conceive Jesus. And you could imagine a woman like Mary who maybe had plans for her life, which most likely on her plan for her life wasn't conceiving Jesus, the one and only Son of God. But yet an angel comes to her and again says, don't be afraid, for this is of God. This is from God, and it's Jesus. You can imagine her response could be to reject and turn away, but yet she humbly and graciously looks to God and surrendering her plans for his glory, to follow God's plans for her life and not her own. She embraces Jesus, and through her would come Christ, the Son of God, the King of Kings. Lastly, throughout our series, just this last weekend, we observed the Magi and surrendering our stuff. So it's not only our doubts, our status, our plans, but our stuff that we are to surrender to God that's required. Because they were seeking after this newborn king, and what they found to embrace Jesus was to surrender their time, their comfort, but their treasure. And they did just that. They would find him and give him gifts, show that God was their greatest treasure, lay them down and bow down and worship him. Surrendering their stuff. See, these are just a few examples we uncovered the last few weeks, but where we find ourselves today is in the same theme, in the same reality, that surrender is necessary and required, but in order to truly receive Jesus this Christmas season, in order to receive him any Christmas, any day, all throughout our years, and to truly experience his presence, in order to really receive and experience him, we have to be characterized by surrendering all those things, but even more. Our whole life, all of us, to him. What I want to share with you today is why that's worth it. Like, why is it worth surrendering our life to Jesus? And the first reason is this. I have two for you this afternoon. The first one's this. Because of who Jesus is. See, the book of John gives us a clear picture of who Jesus is on this journey of recognizing why we should surrender to him. He says this in John 1:1-5. Follow along if you'd like. The words will be on the screen. There's a Bible below your seat and a seat back below you, right? You can grab that. There's a page number. Follow along with us. This is God's word. We get to read it today. And so in John 1:1-5, it says this. In the beginning was the word, and the word was with God, and the word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him, all things were made. Without him, nothing was made that has been made. In him was life, and that life was the light of all mankind. That light shines in the darkness, and the darkness has not overcome it. You see, what John begins to do is step all the way back to the very beginning. He's like, before the very beginning of this whole story of what we see today, what we know, you know who was there? God. And you know who it was? Jesus. He addresses Jesus as the Word. And what we begin to see in John's account here is in this context, it's extremely important for him to address Jesus like this, because it shows that he knows his audience then, but he also knows the audience to be today. I mean, this is God's inspired word that John is writing for us to read. At this time, the Greek philosophers were looking for this impersonal force that brought unity and order to the universe. They would have heard this word from John and begin to discover that, who that was and who that is. It sounds like a very philosopher term, right? Maybe you know some philosophers, right? The impersonal force that brought unity and order to the universe. But the Jews at the time, they knew God's word as what exercised his sovereign power and will. And that when he speaks, the universe becomes into existence. That his words bring everything to be. That his sovereign will and power is brought by his word. And so John, in showing us the picture of Jesus, is putting on this brilliant display to the audience then and to us today that Jesus was the beginning of all those things. That he always was and always is God. It shows us his divinity. It says he's fully, presently, eternally God. He always was and forever will be. That's who Jesus is. That through Jesus, all things were made. That in Jesus was life and the light to all mankind. Even in the book of Luke, when the angel speaks to Mary, identifying Jesus as the Son of the Most High, that God, that he would take the throne of David, that he would be the king who has a kingdom who is everlasting, who never ends, the king above all kings. It's showing us much in the same, that as he would be the fulfilled prophecy to King David hundreds of years before in 2 Samuel 7, that he would be the king that was coming, that they were waiting for. That's who Jesus is. You know, in our culture today, identification cards are really important to us. If you're a student or maybe a kid in the room and you go to school, maybe you go to a public school or a private school, or maybe if you, even if you're homeschooled, maybe there's some way you get some sort of identification card. It says who you are and where you belong. So kids and students in the room, it's like your name and your face. And depending on how that school picture went, it's a really good picture, you know? I know for me growing up, I'd always school picture day, crazy hair, glasses, and I never wore glasses, and just a silly face because I wanted on my ID to see that face. Okay, that's who I am. So let's say your name and your grade, where you belong, right? For us adults, we know very well an ID card, what identification does for us. See, in driving, it's required. Okay, so be sure you have one of those when you drive. There's some good, write that down. Okay, keep your ID when you drive. But also, you know, you can get an identification card for any sort of thing as an adult to show who you are and where you belong. I mean, they can get a little intrusive too. They need to know your height and weight and the color of your eyes and all these things to identify who you are and where you belong. And so I might get caught when they ask my weight saying something a little different than the reality, right? Maybe like some of you, I'm guessing 150 pounds. And they're like, you should step on the scale. Okay. Guessing that's wrong. It's as if God in his great mercy, God would send Jesus not to be an unknown force and another baby born on this earth, but that God would give us the full identification of Jesus to who he is and who he belongs. And that's what John opens up and shows us here. That it's transformational to know the who you're surrendering to. That changes the why we would surrender to him in the first place. Because if he is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, he is worthy of our surrender. And that's why it's worth it to surrender to him. He's the one who always was and always has been, who always will be. He's the King of Kings, where his kingdom is everlasting, has no end, Scripture says. That he is the Son of the Most High, God in the flesh, born as a baby in a manger to change everything, and does change everything. See, why is it worth surrendering to Jesus? Because of who he is. The second is this, and the last point for you this afternoon is because of what Jesus has done. It's worth surrendering to Jesus because of what Jesus has done. See, in the book of Matthew, we find what the angel says to Joseph. See, in this moment, right, Joseph knows Mary is pregnant, okay, and it's not his kid. And he's starting to figure this out, and he's like, oh, no. And so the scripture tells us he's going to divorce her quietly. But in this cultural context, she would have been rejected mightily because any baby born out of a wedlock, out of a marriage, would be a no-no, a no-go. And so Joseph is looking for the courage, looking for the confidence to divorce her quietly, but everyone will know. And he looks to do that, but an angel shows up and says, Joseph, no. See, this is the baby. She's conceived by the Holy Spirit. This is Jesus. Don't be afraid, the angel says, to take her as your wife. Joseph had to surrender his status, knowing that what would soon be to come is rejection from a culture that would know, but to walk into what God would have be. And Joseph faithfully does that. He responds faithfully to God and follows his command. But there's this profound moment in the passage that I want to show you today, where the angel calls on Joseph's life and where the angel informs him. And it says this in Matthew 1:21. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins. Now, why do you think, like, I've heard that 100 times? Why is that so different today? Well, let me point out a few things to you that it shows us. See, the angel of the Lord both identifies the saving grace and gift of Jesus, but you know what else it shows us? The problem we all face. See, it's that Jesus would come to save his people, but that his people in need of saving are sinful. And that's me and you. See, each of us born on this earth are what are known as spiritually blind. We're sinful. We are sinful, that we are living in darkness, that from the very beginning we needed saving from that sin that we so have from our birth. That sin is rebellion against God. It's rejecting God as Lord and ruler of our life, embracing our own ways and living for our own glory. That sin is when we lack surrendering our plans, our status, our stuff in our life, surrendering ourselves to the one true King. That sin is when we proclaim, God, I know what is really good for me, what will make me happy. And as we continue to live in our own ways as our own rulers, that's what sin is. But do you know why sin needs saving from? Because sin only produces death. It's only what we face, not only the consequences of the sin we experience here on earth, maybe some consequences that we take place here on earth, but it's that we experience an eternal separation from God due to our sin if it's unpaid for. That Paul would make this very clear in Romans 6:23, that the wages of our sin is death, that separation. That sin separates us from God. It divides us from a relationship with him, from his very presence. It's like drawing a line in the sand between us and God, because he cannot be with sin. He is one without any. And where we sit today, we see the full picture of what was given to Joseph then. That Joseph was given where Jesus would go to do. What we sit and see today and know is what Jesus has done. See, that Jesus would live a life on earth, a perfect life, and be rejected. Later in John 1, it would say it like this, that he was in the world and that the world was made through him. The world did not recognize him. He came to which was his own, but his own did not receive him. That he would not be received by his very own, but rejected. That he would be sent to the cross due to that. And you know what Jesus was doing? On the cross, for me and you, he was facing a death that we deserved. He was paying for the penalty that we deserved due to our sin, but that we may have life if we surrender to him. Jesus would go to the cross, die a sinner's death, and be resurrected, conquering both sin and death on our behalf, so that you may live. That by faith in Christ and surrendering to him. And then why that's worth it is because then we receive the same Spirit of God who raised Christ from the dead. It's living in you. That Jesus would humbly endure that cross. He would face the wrath of God, the death we deserved on our behalf. That the sin you needed saving from your past, that you walked in presently with today, and that you will sin against God in the future, would be paid in full by his blood and his body on the cross for you. And you know what that forgiveness would offer you? That you would be forgiven due to his sacrifice, that he would surrender his life so you'd be forgiven and made new in him. You know what it would offer you? Life, hope in him, joy in him, but today and everlasting. But even more than that, the reason he came, the reason he died on that cross for you is so that you could be in his presence again, that you could be presently with him again. That his presence would be in you again, that you would be presently with him again. You may be reunited with God, enjoy his presence forever, today and forevermore. You'd be back in right relationship, you with him and he with you. See, surrender doesn't come easy to us because in our world, we're told that surrender is weakness. If we're honest with ourselves, when we think of the word surrender, we think weakness. Surrender is weakness. To give an inch shows that you're powerless, but you know what we find in Jesus? A surrender is not weakness. We find in Jesus that surrendering our life to him is truly power, that it actually gives us power, that surrender brings us life, it brings us peace, it brings us joy, that surrendering our life to Jesus brings us his presence. And by his presence and through him alone is power to redeem your life and make it new. Power to reset your course and make your plans become his plans for your life because you're letting them go and giving them to him. It's when you see that Jesus surrendered his life for you so that you could have life in him but be in his presence again, that he would step off his throne to rescue you. that the King of all kings will become a baby and embark a life of rejection to receive you. See, it's when we see that, friends, that we can turn to him and surrender. When we see that, you could have life in him. That's what gives us the courage, the conviction, gives us the wisdom to turn. And when we do, when we wholeheartedly surrender our life to him, when we let him take the reins of our life, when we hand over the keys to our path to him, that's when everything changes. You can imagine Joseph, when he got the word that Jesus would be called Emmanuel, God with us, the prophecy fulfilled, the way made right, the light has come. Joseph was standing in a unique moment, seeing his ancestors before, his present today, but the future ahead, that the king has come, that salvation has been born, that it is today, it is now, Jesus. See, many babies through the history of the world would become kings through their life, but only one king would ever become a baby and die for you. That's Jesus. He comes humbly. He comes to bring you peace with God. He comes to bring you joy everlasting and the hope that you can't find anywhere else. He comes to pay a penalty for sin that you can't pay. There's no big enough bank account, big enough check you can write, big enough deed you can do, big enough house you can have to pay it off. It can only be paid by him. And you know why he does so? So you could be present with him once again. That you could be present with God once again. And I believe today some of you need to truly, maybe even for the first time, surrender your life to Jesus. You've recognized that you have a sin that you carry that deserves death, a payment you can't pay, but in Jesus it's paid once and for all. And you realize today you need to turn to him in faith. That you've recognized surrender is required and it's worth it for my life. It's worth it for his sake. It's worth it because he is who he says he is and what he's done for me, that his life in my place, so I may surrender all to him to gain life. You need to respond and receive Jesus and confess and believe. Say, Jesus, I turn to you. I believe you're the Son of God who has come to set me free, that if I turn to you and surrender my life to rule in the reign, you do so. I believe you are the only way, the life and the truth. And I receive you, Jesus. For others of you in the room, you've received Jesus, but need to be reminded of his presence this Christmas season. There's maybe a situation or a moment or a relationship that feels mounting. And the words of the angels to Joseph and Mary need to ring true to you today too. Don't be afraid. God is with you. The path may be hard. The moments might come tough. But you know who's worth surrendering everything for because of who he is and what he does? Jesus and what he does for you. Remember that shift in perspective from just the gifts under the tree to the presence of one another? The beauty is this Christmas season, as we see Jesus away in a manger, a baby be born. The beauty of Jesus is that we get to see both. The gift of God's grace and God's presence among us. That you, if you turn to him, you can rejoice in the beauty of Jesus, both a gift and a presence with you. Heavenly Father, we thank you for today. We thank you for this afternoon and ask that God, you would direct our path. And maybe there's some people in the room that need the courage and the boldness to turn to you, God. They recognize that through their life, they maybe are nominally understanding who you are or remember a moment where they gave their life to you, but nothing has really changed. There hasn't been a true commitment of surrender. Maybe today they're recognizing for the first time there's a sin that has to be paid for and you paid it all. So Jesus, I pray that they would turn to you today. And God, I ask that you would do what only you can do and remind us of your presence. God, I thank you that you are presently with us and among us, that you, Jesus, came to be God with us. And to that we celebrate. And to that we rejoice. And not the hope we experience only today, but the hope we experience forevermore in you. Jesus, thank you for your life as a ransom for us. Thank you for your presence that sets us free and unites us with God once again. We give the rest of our time to you as we respond in song. In Jesus' name, amen.